Well, Father God, we are so grateful to be in the first Sunday of the new year. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, all the benefits you provided for us in Jesus. I ask that you think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords. You know the needs of your people today, not I. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise God. We're going to continue what the Lord is placed in my heart to talk about, which is tell hell no. So this is going to be part three, which is the final part of this particular segment. So it's part three, section four. Alrighty, in this section four, we're talking about storming the gates of hell. So the Lord wants us to storm the gates of hell. Amen. So in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it reads, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." So, that power is the word of God that we believe and act on in our heart. So when you see him saying that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, okay, that power again that works in us is the power of the word we believe, which is our faith. Faith is activated, or the word of God becomes activated or alive in a believing heart, just like a seed. A seed can sit on the shelf for years, but you put that seed in the right place, which is the ground, and you water that seed, it's going to break forth and begin to grow. And so that's what faith is about. We can have a lot of scriptures in our head, but until that word gets in our heart, that scripture in our head is dead, Fred. And I'm not talking about anyone in particular if their name is Fred, just a phrase. But that word has to get in our heart before it becomes alive and active. So the greater one lives on the inside of you. And in John 4:4, it states, "We are of God, little children," pardon me, "and have overcome them." The them is those people that ain't saved and still in the camp of the enemy, deceived by the god of this world, which is Satan. So greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. You must get that revelation that the greater one lives on the inside of you. That's a truth that you must become inside-minded in reality, the spiritual reality that Jesus lives in you. Okay? That is your victory. Christ in you is your victory in life. So when you pray, understand that he hears you, fellowship with him on the inside of your heart, commune with him, and his presence will begin to permeate you, permeate in you and through you. All righty? So Jesus, again, lives in you. It is the Christ in you that is the hope of glory. That's what our Christian salvation is about. Our Christian life is not about a God that's external, even though God is in heaven, but he moved in by way of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Inside of us. Now, how this works, I don't know. Theologians try to figure it out. I don't try to figure it out. It's just mind-boggling to me, and I just say, okay, I believe it. I know you're on the inside of me. I pray in my heavenly language. You talk to me. I see truths out of the scriptures. How all that works, I don't know. And I don't need to know. It just need to work. Do you understand that? I mean, I'm serious. I've learned to not try to figure God out. It's not my job to figure God out. It's my God to believe and obey so he can bless me. And so when we believe and obey, that's the only way, and he blesses us. So you have him in you, which is the authority and the power to kick in the gates of hell. So we're talking about tell hell no. And at this teaching, or this part of the teachings, we want to talk about storming the gates. Alrighty? So now, let's look at Matthew 16, 13 and 19, as you can see up there. It says, and Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? They said, look what they said. They said, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. So, other people have their opinions of who Jesus is. What's important is what Jesus says next. He said to them, but who do you say I am?
Yes.
See what I'm saying? That's what matters. What matters is what you say, who you say Jesus is. Not what someone else say that Jesus is. Now look what he goes on to say here to Simon Peter. He says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ. That's the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That was important to the Jewish people. They were waiting on the Messiah. And so Peter got a revelation that Jesus was the Messiah that everyone was waiting on. And so Jesus answered and said to him, he said, blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You see that? But my Father in heaven. Stop at that period there. God brings revelation to us of who Jesus is. So as you spend time in the Word, you'll begin to get understanding of Jesus, who he is, who he is. And then you'll come to understand what he has done for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. It becomes an inside reality in your heart. And so, just having intellectual knowledge of it or Bible book knowledge of it, that's a start. You have a frame of reference, right? But it's not until that word get in your heart like a seed gets in the ground and becomes living. Glory to God. That word got to become living on the inside of a person. So a person can go to church and they can serve faithfully in the church, but they have no godly characteristics or behavior. Why? The real reason is the word hasn't took root in their heart. They're just serving. They're going through, you know, and they've been taught that God blesses you for serving in the church. But God blesses you for living godly. And there's a lot of people that serve in church that ain't living godly. Am I right about it?
Amen.
Amen. I know I'm right about it. I used to be one of them. Glory to God. I mean, you get that word in your heart, it changes you, man. It changes you. So he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you, now what he said, look what Jesus said to him. He says, Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church. Stop at that comma there. What is the church? The word church means to be taken from darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. It's a group of individuals that has been translated from the kingdom of hell or darkness, and they've translated into kingdom of light. They fellowship together at a local assembly. But you become the church. The church is where God dwells.
Yes.
And he dwells in people. So just because you go to a building that has a name on the church on it, doesn't mean Jesus is in you and you're living by that reality. Okay? And so we look. So that's where people look at people that say they believe in God, and they do. They do believe in God. They do believe in Jesus. What is the problem? They're not living godly because they're not spending time letting the word take root and resident on the inside of them. The word says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. You got to abide in that word, and then that word will abide in you, and it will become a reality on the inside. And listen, the word will modify your behavior. It takes root. You got born again, but your born again spirit needs to feed on the words of life, which is words about Christ. Oh, that's under the Holy Ghost. It must feed on the word of life, and the word of life is about Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. So if you're not feeding on him, you're not growing in him. I'm going to say it again. If you're not feeding on him, you're not growing in him. You can have a lot of information, But it's not until you feed on the word where it brings heart transformation. And so the devil wants you to keep you from good, rich teaching about Jesus because you'll never grow. And if you never grow, you'll stay a child, and a child can't defeat the enemy in their life. In their life. They can't do any exploits for God because they're a baby. And you got adults that are still babies, and they think they're not because they have head knowledge of the scriptures, but they haven't. It hasn't transformed their behavior. The word disciple means discipline one. They haven't learned to take the word and discipline their flesh. This is important. They haven't learned to take the word and discipline their flesh with that word. And you can't storm the gates of hell and deal with spiritual activity that's causing the problems in our in our society, in our communities, and in families if you don't know how to take dominion over your own flesh yet.
Yeah.
I said flesh yet. Because here, we're going to teach you how to live godly, holy, which is a process, and how to take dominion over your flesh, man, so you can put the devil under your feet and begin to, God can use you as a mature son and daughter of God to bring change to people's lives and communities and nations, cities. Okay? So now, back to that. He says, on this rock, what I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Did you see what that said? It said, you. Against you. Against it. Man, that's good stuff. I don't care how you slice it up. Huh? And I mean, you know, you got to get excited about the word. That's a good word. I don't care how you slice that thing up. Glory to God. So, just say lie on that a bit. Meditate on that a bit. It shall not prevail against you. Praise the Lord. So, if life is prevailing against you, evil spirits are controlling and causing problems and havoc in your life. Why is that? Most likely, you're not being built on the rock of Christ Jesus, the salvation of who he is and what he's done for you. Praise God. That is absolutely something to just to think about and marinate in your on your mind. So it shall not prevail against it, meaning the church. And remember, I said the church is people, so it's not going to prevail against you. All right. Section 4, continuing storming the gates. The rock he was speaking of is the rock of revelation knowledge, the revelation of who Jesus is. Peter understood that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the deliverer. That's important. The Messiah means the deliverer. Not from Roman society, deliverance from the devil in one's life by bringing them the life of God and filling them with the life of God so that they can take dominion over the devil within themselves. Mm-hmm. The devil feeds on flesh. He feeds on the flesh nature of man. That's the sin man, the sin nature. So when you didn't have the power to overcome him, but when you got born again, that power on the inside is what puts the enemy underfoot in your life as you learn to discipline yourself by living by the word and putting it under your feet. All righty. So Peter understood that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. And as you get revelation of Jesus and the authority he has given you in him from heaven, on earth and under the earth. Huh? See, Jesus has authority in the earth, on the earth, under the earth, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. That's Jesus' authority. God gave him all authority.
Yes.
Makes me think of what was that movie Al Pacino was in and The Godfather. The Godfather. And he turned it over to his son. See, God has turned all he's turned the family business over to Jesus. Jesus runs everything. Jesus is our Heavenly Father's right-hand man. Mm-hmm. Everything got to come through Jesus. Huh? Do you trust me? Do you, listen, listen, listen to, listen to my son. Listen to Jesus. And everything gonna be all right. So when you understand the authority that you have been given in Jesus, you will begin to take up, you begin to rise up and take authority over the enemy in your life. But you do it through the authority of Jesus, not through your authority. That's why a lot of people struggle and they don't understand authority. The authority is delegated authority that you have through Jesus. So you got to believe in Jesus' authority before your authority will work, because your authority is his authority.
Amen.
Is that making sense to you? If you don't believe in his authority, your authority is not going to work. Like the centurion, he said, speak the word only. I'm a man under authority and in authority. I have men under me that I say, go and come. And so he recognized Jesus's authority over sickness. And he didn't struggle with it because he understood authority. He understood to be in authority, you got to be under authority. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are not under Jesus's authority. They're under their authority. They're doing what they want to do. And that's called witchcraft. When you do what you want to do. And I can tell people that's doing what they want to do, they don't talk about Jesus. It's so easy to hear people that ain't doing what God told them to do. God told us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and preach the kingdom. They preached everything else but that. That's how I know that they are in witchcraft and in error. And that's why people don't grow, because they don't learn about their Savior Jesus. They're not being formed. Christ is not being formed in you. They're talking psychology, or they're saying something that makes you feel good emotionally, because they're dealing with your emotional feelings that you're going through in your everyday life, but not teaching you how to take dominion through Christ. You gonna? I mean, I can't even say that again. That was under the Holy Ghost, man. Y'all getting that? Hallelujah, man. I like this, man. I like this. So revelation knowledge is spiritual understanding. It is spiritual understanding. It is insight into Jesus, who he is. It is insight into the ways of God. It is insight into the operation of the kingdom of God. And so when this revelation is applied, when you read the word and those words begin to speak to your heart and jump off that book and you get light of the understanding, that's why Paul prayed, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you'll understand spiritual things. When you operate on those things and you apply that revelation that he gives you with proper corresponding action, it produces and activates the power of God in your life. It's what allows heaven to change things on the earth for you and for others that don't know who they are in Christ. And so, Lord, I won't touch that one right now. So, continuing on. So, the greater one lives on the inside of you, so you must have a solid understanding of Christ in you. And with this understanding, the gates of hell can't prevail against you. And when you get strong on the inside, you begin, God can do great exploit through you on the outside. Now, it's going to take, it's for some people, you're going to, it's, you got to keep hearing this until you, till you catch that thing, catch that understanding in the spirit. Some things can't, some things have to be caught as it's taught. So as I'm teaching this word, the Holy Spirit illuminates your heart and mind, and you catch that truth. That friend of mine, me and a friend of mine, you know, we call it that it makes that popcorn pop on the inside of you. I also like to say it makes your spirit do flip flops on the inside. What? You're seeing that word. Yeah. You're getting understanding. Hallelujah. So Jesus has given us power and authority, which is his delegated authority. I know I'm saying the same thing over and over again through repetition. That's how we learn. So that authority kicks in the gates of hell. It takes from the devil what is rightfully ours. So healing and prosperity is rightfully has been purchased by the blood of Jesus for you already. It is a spiritual reality. You understand what I'm saying? Healing is a spiritual reality. It may not be a physical reality in a person's body, but it's a spiritual reality. Mm-hmm. You understand? But now, how do I get that spiritual reality to manifest in my natural body? Because that's where I really need it, right?
Yep.
Well, you do that by feeding on the word, because your spirit man, you have, the Bible says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you, and it will quicken, or it will heal, it will take dominion over your natural flesh.
Hallelujah.
But you have to spend time feeding on the word, hearing that Jesus is your healer.
Yes.
Seeing those scriptures and meditating those scriptures. Praying in your heavenly language. You don't have it, you should have that, your heavenly language, but your heavenly language is how you edify yourself like a generator. It charges your spirit man. It's how you commune with God. It overrides your natural mind, and it prays for you. The Holy Spirit prays what you need to pray to God, because you don't know what to pray for. So if anyone don't have the Holy Spirit, you know, the enemy is keeping you from having it. I don't know what to pray for a lot of times, so all I can do is pray in the Spirit. Not I know that it's praying the perfect prayer unto my Heavenly Father. And that was God's way to override Satan's influence in your heart and your mind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God is a genius, man. He overrides Satan's way of doing things by giving you a heavenly language to help you and override your natural inclinations to doubt and to worry. Oh, man. Come on, man. I know I'm teaching good.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Because God is a good God.
Yeah, yeah.
Ain't me, it's him. Thank you, Lord. So now, listen, as we kick these gates in, it's like executing an eviction order. That's what deliverance does. When Jesus was casting demons out, he was executing an eviction order. He was evicting those spirits from being and affecting people's lives, sicknesses, and prosperity and things of that nature. He evicted them. They had no legal right to enforce the curse in their lives. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like executing an eviction order. In the natural, when you own a home and someone refuses to leave, you can't just go in and throw them out. And you know what I'm saying? You can't physically go in and do that. You can't assault them and throw all their stuff out on the street. You understand this? There's laws. The kingdom operates by these same spiritual laws, but the average Christian don't understand it. See, the natural world is a reflection of how the spirit realm operates. God is the judge that judges among gods. He's talking about his children.
Yeah.
I ain't got time to explain, preach that to people with your scared selves. And so you appeal to the God of heaven through the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And now those spirits have to be evicted out of your life. You get what I'm saying? So that's what you're praying. When you're praying the word, you're praying the promises, you're praying the law of heaven, and you're praying your rights, your spiritual rights in Christ. And that's what you pray when you pray. You're not just praying any old thing. That's why you got to have a scripture to stand on. You have to have a law from heaven that guarantees the answer or guarantees your spiritual rights in Christ. And God begins to enforce what is rightfully yours in Jesus. So every demon and devil trying to hinder you from having what Jesus died to provide, heaven itself through the angels begins to enforce God's love for you, God's prosperity for you, God's plan for you. You can't do it in your natural. That's why you have to trust your angels to enforce it. When they went into the promised land, the angels went before them.
Yeah.
What did I tell you? Angels are God's covenant enforcement agents.
Come on now.
They're like the bailiffs, man, coming and knocking on the door, evicting the enemy. You got to go. Why? Because this house belongs to Larry James Folsom Jr. You got to get your own stuff. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's like executing an eviction order in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
When you own your home and someone refuses to leave, you can't just go in and take it. You must go to court and get an eviction notice. And once you have been granted the right of eviction, you have the ability or you have the authority to reclaim your home. Oh, glory to God. You get this? Is that making sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
So telling hell no and kick storming the gates is how we evict him or dispose him. That's what they did when they crossed over the Jordan And they went in and they began to take possession of the land. Why? Because God said it was theirs. And he kicked out the wicked people and gave it to the covenant people he promised Abraham. And he still operates by that same M.O., mode of operation. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for us, the just. So he's going to take the wicked stuff and give it to us. Some wicked man got my money. Ha ha. You understand what I'm saying? That's the way God operates. That's just the way he operates. You can argue and debate it all day long. You better start reading the scriptures so you can get your stuff. I don't know who the wicked people are that got my stuff. I know one thing, I shall overcome. I shall take it. You got to understand that you got to take it from the devil. You got to take your healing. You got to take your prosperity. Somebody sitting in your seat right now. What are you talking about? Somebody sitting in your seat. God gives you a job. That's called a God job. You live for the Lord and you work as unto him. He will move one out the way and put your righteous self there. Someone is sitting in your seat that is doing things unrighteously. And he's trying to put his righteous son and daughter in that position so that you can run the place.
That's right.
Because when the people, when was it, when the city, I want that scripture now. When the righteous are in authority, thank you, Holy Spirit, the people rejoice. When the righteous are in authority, see what I'm saying? The city rejoice.
Amen.
The workplace rejoice.
Amen.
Christians always bawling and squalling and crying about the job. You goof, nagel, hush. He's trying to make you the boss. But you're going to have to start working with some character and some integrity. Let that junk roll off your back. Next thing you know, you're the supervisor running the place. Why? Because you're his righteousness. But if you get caught up into all that chiding and all that stuff going on the workplace, he can't use you because you haven't matured and haven't grown up. Grit your teeth, play in the spirit, and keep it pushing. You work as unto the Lord anyway. Yeah, that was good stuff. You get what I just said. Are you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So these blessings Jesus has purchased for us, the devil tries to hold them back by keeping us from them. And number one way he keeps it back from us is he tries to keep Christians in their flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them acting carnal. There's no difference between you and a person that don't even serve Jesus. You act the same way. You talk the same way. You do the same things. And then you go to church on Sunday like you got it all together. But God knows that you're not living any different than a sinner. And they know that you're a hypocrite. Why won't you come join my church? See, your church? Why would I go to your church and you act like a goofball? When you become the church, people will start coming to Jesus.
Come on.
Invite them to Jesus. You can't invite them to Jesus. You know why? Because you're not living like Jesus. So no one gets saved until they come to Jesus. But if you're not living like Jesus, you can't, you know, live in a way that that people are attracted to Jesus. They should see a change in us when we spend time in his presence and live from the inside out. For real. People should see a change in us. They should recognize the glory of the Lord on us. So God has already made salvation available to them. But we must storm the gates of hell, kick in the gates. We're talking about people to get them to come out of the kingdom of darkness, come out of living a hellish lifestyle. See, our salvation must be so awesome that sinners want to be saved. But right now, sinners don't want to be saved. You know why? Because you can't find a lot of saved people that live godly for real. I mean, I don't know why. You can get mad all you want. You can get mad all you want. When I left the world and came back to Jesus, I came back and I'm staying back. And people see the change in me. I ain't got time for that foolishness. Are you going to live right or you not? And it's a decision. You got to make a decision like me and my wife did. We done with that. I don't want no parts of that. Well, can't you still be a part of our club? And no, I cannot. That's called straddling the fence. And I can't straddle the fence and live for Jesus. And I don't want to straddle the fence. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm at peace. Praise the Lord. These gates. So we kick in those gates and we take people out, bringing them into the beautiful liberty of the kingdom of God, dear son, love. Jesus. These gates are spiritual forces. Now listen, I'm going to teach something here. These gates are spiritual forces. They're like invisible fences. So we do not storm these gates by natural means. We storm them by heavenly power and divine authority based on scripture revelation, information that we see inside the book. There's so many keys and principles inside the book, but if you're not in the book, you can't see them. So it's based on spiritual laws of the kingdom. We do this battle is through spiritual laws of the kingdom. Like a lot of people struggle in the area of their finances. It's one of two reasons. It's only one of two reasons. You know, some, you know, people say, well, you're not paying your tithes. Probably they're not. You're not giving. Probably you're not. The other one is this, your soul. You love things more than you love living godly. That's the number one reason people struggle in their financial arena. They love material things more than they love living godly. And when you love things more than godliness, you're going to be enslaved by money. And so you got people that got plenty of money, but they're still enslaved to that money. They freak out. You touch their money, they will absolutely have a hissy fit. Why? Because the money is the God, their God, not the Lord, our Lord and Savior. So you can't be emotionally tied to people, places, and things. Alrighty? All belongs to you anyway. I mean, if you own a car lot, why in the world do you need to be tied to a car? The earth is Lord's. But see, what's wrong? People are not teaching you that all belongs to you through Christ Jesus. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? Well, you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. It's your stuff. Sinners driving your stuff. That's why it says, don't be mad at sinners that are prospering their way. Huh? The godly shall inherit it. It's your stuff. You say, BW, getting a new jet. You talking about getting a new jet? I hope so. People get mad at Christian men, pastors having a jet. Why? You ain't got no problem with all them sinners having jets and running around spewing garbage and filling the minds of your children with filthy stuff. That's the way the world thinks. Yeah. Man of God trying to tell you about Jesus. Well, you know. Well, whatever. Your problem, not mine. These gates are spiritual forces like the invisible forces, so they do not storm the gates. We don't storm the gates by natural means. We storm them by heavenly power and divine authority based on spiritual laws of the kingdom. These laws are activated by our faith and corresponding action. Hallelujah. These gates are places of spiritual containment. The enemy tries to contain you in a box or just keep you from breaking out and advancing in the things that God has ordained for you. He does it in many ways, but he contains people. He contains them in an economic situation. When they should be farther along financially, they're contained. Why? Because if you prosper, he knows you're going to use your wealth to build the kingdom. So he fights against you with his spirits to keep you from prospering. So you got to learn how to break that power of those spirits to keep prosperity that's hindering prosperity from coming to you. See, you can't share the love of Jesus broke. And the devil knows this. He knows it. He knows you can't share the love of Jesus with people broke. So he fights you in that area hard. So these spiritual containments hold people. They hold people groups, resources, and land captive. Don't want the church to get any land to grow. And to put things on that land that's going to help a community. So the enemy fights it. They are designed to restrict movement, limit influence. What? They don't want the church to make any influences in this world. They don't want us to take the mountains of education, the mountain of music. Those are powers. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to take the mountains of government authority. Christians are supposed to be in the government, but instead you're listening to a bunch of goofnagles that don't believe in Jesus at all. and you're choosing sides.
Yep.
And the devil's winning the battle through your ignorance. So these things, they limit influences and keep people from accessing what rightfully belongs to them or what rightfully belongs to Jesus. Jesus owns the earth now. His blood has purchased it. His body, which is us, is to take dominion and take it all back. Because now it's ours. He told Abraham he would inherit the earth. And we're supposed to take it. Don't get afraid of that word, take it. You got to take it back. Somebody takes something from you, take it back. You going to let somebody take your stuff? You going to let somebody take your wife? You going to let someone take your family and children away from you? No, I'm not going to let them take my wife and children. I'm going to take it all back.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? And don't ever back down on that. And I ain't. And I'm talking about the devil. You put your finger in the devil's face. You ain't taking my family. Are you out your rabbit mind? Get under these feet. Take them out of the mold. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you move, God moves. Just like that. A mature body of believers is rising. A people who know their authority in Christ, they're rising up. And this mature body is able to set the captives free, reclaiming the land. That's what we're doing here. I'm believing God to bring pillars in this place so that we can begin to march through the land and take it all back in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Take it back. Take our communities back. I'm not believing God. God has me believing not for just a church that's just running around having programs just playing church and banging around. No, no, no. We're talking about something that's going to take a movement that's going to bring a change to the community. To an entire city. Man, what church is that? Faith in Jesus Christian Center. Our faith is in Jesus, and Jesus is Lord of all. And we enforce his lordship in this area.
Come on.
We take dominion over the devil. We ain't having no crime in our city. Get out. Will the real men and women of God please stand up? The earth is off its course. Reeling. Problems in our cities and communities. And you got people that want to just play church. Oh, God's blessing me. And you living in sin. You still fornicating. And got the audacity to say, God blessing me. And you got a pastor don't challenge you to stop living in sin. Well, they may not come back to church. Well, they was never in the church. Because when you get born again for real and you start getting fed truth about Jesus, you have no desire to live in the life of sin.
Amen.
And some of these sins, you ain't even trying to stop doing. You got people that's patty caking you and pacifying your emotions, coddling your flesh. I ain't gonna coddle your flesh. I'm gonna feed your spirit, man, so you can take dominion over your flesh. That's what you need as a pastor is gonna teach you how to take dominion over your flesh. Yeah, that part. So a mature body is able to set the captives free, reclaim the land, and recover the resources needed to build and expand the kingdom of God. Like an army, we advance, we take territory, and we hold that ground for the coming of the king.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
What y'all doing over there at Faith in Jesus Christ? That's what we're doing. And there's a people that hear the clarion call of taking hell no. They'll be here. They tired of church as usual. They tired of the hypocrisy. We ain't looking down on nobody. But when you want to live right for real, you don't want to be around a false, hypocritical mess. And you can't play them witchcraft games on me either no more. You used to, but you can't do it because he didn't taught me how to break that spirit of witchcraft. You can't condemn me. See, that spirit of witchcraft makes you feel condemned. It always reminds you of your sin, your past, and it doesn't build you up in your righteousness. And when you can't walk in your righteousness, you can't walk by faith. You can't walk in confidence. That's powerful. When you don't know how to walk in your righteousness, you can't walk in no confidence. So they make you feel like you need them. And they remind you of your weaknesses and they never build you up. We looked at that scripture where it talked about they're to teach you to acknowledge every good thing that is in you, that is in Christ. You're still crying about the past and I'm still. Shut all that old stuff up. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Other than you don't know who you are in Jesus because you're going somewhere that ain't telling you. Yeah, well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. In Joshua 1, in Joshua 18, 1 through 3, it reads, it says that the whole congregation of Israel, look what it says here. Israel was assembled by Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. Do you see what that says? The land was already subdued before them. And it says the enemy had already been subdued. In other words, the enemy had already been defeated. Mm-hmm. But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes that had not yet received their inheritance. Seven tribes that has not received their inheritance. They already had to wait 40 years. Why? Because they had 10 reverends that didn't believe that they could take the land. They looking at themselves like grasshoppers and teaching the people to see themselves like grasshoppers. You're not a grasshopper, you're a giant killer.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because the giant killer lives on the inside of you.
Come on.
Jesus. Huh? Yeah. Well, we're able to do what God called us to do.
Come on.
Because it ain't by our might, our power, our intellect. It is by His Spirit. His grace will fill this place. Glory to God. The angels are moving right now. That's what we learned on Thursday. He's causing things to happen in the invisible because we're believing for the impossible. When you believe God for the impossible, He moves in the invisible and He brings it to pass. Keep depending on your intellect and you're going to get left behind on this next move of God. Praise the Lord. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long are you going to neglect? Look at that. I like that. Look at that. How long are you going to neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given to you? He's given you all things that pertains to life and godliness. Praise the Lord. How long are you going to neglect to possess it? The land which the Lord God, your fathers, has given you. The Lord had given them the victory, but they had not possessed it. Don't let that be you, because it ain't going to be me no more. I listened to religious being long enough, telling me I wasn't called and I wasn't qualified and I wasn't this and I wasn't that. Oh, you see how He's changing me. Why? Because I stopped listening to all those goofnagles that told me what God couldn't do through me. Only they can do it through them. No, I'm here to tell you, if God has called you to do something and told you to be a part of something that's bigger than you, it's God. If it's bigger than you, it's God. If it's bigger than you, it's God. And what He's put in my heart to do, it's bigger than me. You need to get with a man that's believing God to do stuff bigger than him. That's where God at. Where God at? Show me the vision where God telling somebody to do something that's impossible. That's where God's working in the invisible at. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So anyway, don't let that be you. God has given us the victory through Christ Jesus. It's up to you to take possession of it. So what are you waiting for? Don't let the devil keep your stuff. You got to tell hell no. Take that stubborn stance on the inside of on God's word of what Jesus has done for you, who you are and what you have in Jesus. You take that stubborn stance, man. And I'm telling you, you don't move. It's called peaceful violence. You keep your peace, but you're waging a violent war on the inside. Speaking that word.
Yes, Lord.
angels is backing you up. So kick the gates in. Take possession of what Jesus has given you. In Psalms 18:29, I like this. By the power of God, we can run against a troop. And by God, we leap over walls. What's that? Man, that's a warrior. That's an army that's marching through the land, breaking barriers of the enemy, trying to contain them, and they're taking deliverance of the people. Mm-hmm. Is that making sense to you? Now, we're going to close on this here. One of the most overlooked strategies of the enemy is this subtle attack of keeping you stagnant and cut off from supply lines of food and weapons. Satan knows that if he can keep you spiritually boxed in, cut off from the word concerning Jesus. See, he cuts you off from a word concerning Jesus. He'll put you in the little, he'll let you stay in a little religious system that ain't talking about Jesus a lot. Keep you from growing in him. You're excited about how great this individual is. See, the individual is who you're looking at, and you're not looking to Jesus. And you're not even listening and seeing if they're teaching you about who you are in him. Mm-hmm. They're galvanizing you or getting you to be a part of their church. And you are enamored by that. But you're struggling every day in your everyday life. Why? Because you don't know who you are. Jesus said they're called blind guides, leading the blind. And Jesus said what? Let them alone. So I ain't going to mess with you. I ain't going to mess with the blind guides because he told me not to mess with the blind guides. I'm going to show you the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ of who you are in him. And those that want to see the truth will come to the truth.
Amen.
And that's the person Jesus. So if you ain't hearing about Jesus, you ain't hearing the truth, baby. And I'm telling you what I know. Went to church for years and didn't hear nothing about Jesus. Satan knows that if he keep you spiritually boxed in, cut you off from the word concerning Jesus, and disconnect you from revelation and spiritual nourishment in Christ, you will eventually weaken, dry up, and spiritually wither away. You become useless. You're no good. You can't fight back. And so you just stay there, contained in that place. You're just stuck right there. The enemy's goal is simple. Starve you to death. He wants to keep you in a place where you have no spiritual strength, no fresh word, no revelation. You have no movement, no momentum. Being surrounded by surrounding you and boxing you in. That's what the devil does. He surrounds you and boxes you in. Huh? The devil knows a believer who is not feeding on the word of Jesus, the words of life, will eventually stop moving. They will dry up and they will die. A believer who stops moving becomes spiritually malnourished, weak, and vulnerable. That's Satan's strategy. Well, how come I'm struggling in this area of my life? Because you're not being nourished in the word of God to break it out of your life. It's word power, not willpower. Psychology is about willpower. The word of God is about word power. It is a spiritual circumcision that changes you where you can walk in the power of the word.
Hallelujah.
This is a spiritual thing. But as long as they break it down to an intellectual thing, it ain't gonna work. The enemy distracts you. Listen to this. The enemy distracts you with worldly entertainment to distract and isolate you from the word of God. That's his design. Boxing you in and keeping your head in the lap of Delilah. Follow me where I'm going with this. Keeping your minds infiltrated with the ways of harlotry, the harlotry of the world. Looking at junk on Facebook, posting foolishness and engaging in mess. Right now, everybody got their face in the mirror of Facebook instead of their face in the mirror of the word. Why? To keep you entertained through junk so that you can engage in mess. Y'all know I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
It keeps your minds, again, infiltrated to the ways of the harlotry of this world. That's what it's doing. So when that happens, the enemy ties you to, listen, to the grinding wheel of the world system. You end up working for mammon, trapped in a cycle of toil and frustration. Listen, and sin becomes the release valve for the pressures of life and the daily grind. I was there. Oh, man, I done worked hard all this week, man. I'm going to pick up a little hours, and I'm going to go out of town, and we're going to party hardy. Huh? Release valve. That's called a release valve. You've been through all the frustrations of the week. All the, you know what I'm saying? Pharaoh changed his system on you. Instead of cracking you on the whip, he cracked you a little bit, but he gave you some money, and then he gives you a liquor store to go spend all the money at the liquor store and get drunk. And said, man, we had a good time. We had a good time. Now you got to come back and deal with them bills. Oh, I'm teaching good now. I'm teaching good now. Why? Because now you got to go work and start paying. And what do? You complain about your bills. Man, my bills. I see that junk. We was there.
Yes,
we That's did. His way of keeping you contained. And sin is nothing but a release valve. You fornicate because it's a relief valve. You drink and you smoke and you act a fool because it is a release valve. You're trying to fill it with something. You need Jesus, you need his love, and you need the peace of the kingdom. But instead, he makes it fun. Until all of a sudden, it appears to be fun. He makes it fun. The Bible says sin is fun for a season. Until you start getting a little older, and your body start breaking down, and the doctors say, oh man, you're messing your livers, what did I do? He distracted you by keeping your head in the lap of Delilah. Follow me. As believers cut off, listen. The believers cut off from the word is of life become spiritually weakened, unable to walk in supernatural strength, anointing, and authority that he has given them or that was granted to them in Christ Jesus. In Judges 16:9-22, it says, this was about Samson. It says, Delilah, she lured him to sleep on his knees and called for a man and had him shave off 7 locks from his head. She began to torment him. See, the devil will torment you. Where are you getting that, Brother Larry? Some of us was called. We were called and we grew up and we went to church and we knew better. But we laid our head in the lap of Delilah. And she got us. She cut our hair off. She cut our covenant that we made with God. A Nazarite was never supposed to cut their hair. It meant the covering, the covenant. We left the covering of Christ Jesus. We left. So she called the Philistines upon you. He said, the Philistines upon you. And Samson woke from his sleep and said, I will go out before them and like other times and shake myself. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. The Philistines took him and put his eyes out. See, when you separate from God, ain't no glory, ain't no anointing in your life. Even though he still loves you, you have went on the dark side. You went into sin. You went over there. So they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze feathers, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair on his head began to grow back after he had been shaven. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
Glory be to God. Man, his hair grew back. And what they didn't understand was he was pushing that wheel, and he was pushing and praying, and he is asking God to give him his strength back. He was asking God to forgive him for laying his head in the lap of Delilah. And as he spent time in prayer and grinding, he started grinding and praying. His hair grew back. Uh-oh. Moved him to those pillars. He said, Lord, if you give me another chance to do this, I'm going to take out more than I've ever taken out before for you. They chained him up against those pillars. And he took down an entire coliseum that was making mockery of him. But what you got to understand, we got the living Christ on the inside of us. The death we die to is our flesh. Lord, I will kill my flesh this time. That's what you got to do. Die to your flesh. And this time, we're going to knock down and tear down, and we're going to destroy entire coliseums of the devils laughing at us, making mockery of us. The church is rising back up, and there is a generation that's coming forth. It's called the Samson generation. We were called and appointed, and his love for us is never failing. He's made a covenant with us. We have a God that has made a covenant with us.
Yes.
Glory be to God. And he's going to use a people that thought they were forgotten. They wasn't forgotten. God has not forgotten them. I got to finish up on this. Praise the Lord. Are you getting something today?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is a prophetic word I got to get to you before we close. Praise God. Whew. He's a good God. So I'm gonna save that prophetic word for Thursday. Okay. I'm gonna save it for Thursday. Bible study. Father God, I thank you for allowing me to share this word today. I thank you that revelation knowledge has flowed freely. I thank you, Lord, that from this day forward, we're going to rise up and tell hell no. We're going to walk in the liberty of the gospel of Christ Jesus, disposing the devil and claiming everything that Jesus has provided for us. We're going to have no surrender, no retreat, and all that desires to be free will be free in this ministry. We will not compromise the freedom that we have in Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for an army that you're raising to march through the land and set captives free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.